two state water quality experts and a Flint utility official face criminal charges related to the Flint water crisis, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta reports.
Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette says the charges include misconduct and neglect of duty, tampering with evidence, and lying to cover up the lead contamination of the city's drinking water. Schuette says this is an ongoing investigation.
These charges are only the beginning, and there'll be more to come. That I can guarantee you.
You let the lower people get locked up so the big fish can still do what they do.
But Flint residents like Aaron Dunnigan say they want to see how high the investigation goes and who else gets charged for a water disaster that started while the city was under the control of state-appointed emergency managers. I'm Rick Pluta in Flint.
Now, after the charges were announced yesterday, Governor Snyder called them deeply troubling and extremely serious.
I've consistently said that a handful of bureaucrats had created a terrible situation in Flint from the beginning. If these accusations are correct, this would take it to a whole new level. And one of the things we clearly want to pursue is the truth. The citizens of Michigan deserve it. The citizens of Flint deserve it.
Now, the leader of Democrats in the State House, Tim Grimmel, has called on Governor Snyder to resign over his administration's handling of Flint's water emergency. Representative Grimmel joins us now to discuss yesterday's developments, his call for Governor Snyder to step down, and why Democrats have not pursued impeachment proceedings against the governor. Tim Grimmel, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show.
Just briefly at the beginning here, share your thoughts about everything that transpired yesterday. We had the Attorney General announce the charges. We had the governor's response. Where is your head at on this right now?
Certainly everybody who is criminally culpable for what happened at Flint, regardless of what level of government they worked in, should be held accountable. And so I think that yesterday is a good start. It sounds like there are reasons to believe that all three of the individuals were criminally culpable for the problems associated with the Flint water supply. But I hope and I believe that Attorney General Schuette is going to continue to investigate others. As we've learned over the course of the past number of months, the governor's office certainly played a central role in not reacting promptly to this crisis. And the entire crisis really began because of decisions made by the state-appointed emergency manager. So the governor is right that this crisis was created by bureaucrats, but the bureaucrats primarily responsible for this were bureaucrats appointed by Governor Snyder himself.
Now, with the Attorney General's comments yesterday in mind that more charges will be announced, do you have any doubts about the particular people charged yesterday? And the reason I ask that is that, according to reports, Dr. Mark Edwards, who says he is pleased that the state has charged some people, but he's suggesting that the city employee in particular is likely not as culpable as the others. Are you deep enough into this to respond to that? Do you have doubts that resemble Dr. Mark Edwards on this?
Well, I don't know enough about the specific facts relating to these specific individuals, and I don't think those facts have been made public yet. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what Attorney General Schuette is alleging happened. But certainly I have doubts about how ultimately culpable the city employee was. Keep in mind that these decisions were made, both the decision to go to the Flint River water and the decision not to treat or properly treat the Flint River water, those were really made under the direction of the state-appointed emergency manager in the city, not by local elected officials. And we'll have to wait and see exactly whether city employees played a role in that. Obviously, the Attorney General is asserting that at least one did. We'll have to wait and see. So I'm going to reserve judgment until we see all the facts. But certainly, if local employees were culpable criminally in some way, they should be held accountable, too.
These doubts that Dr. Mark Edwards has involved the city employee, will identify his name. He's the city water plant operator, Michael Glasgow, just for the record. I'm curious if you've given any thought as to how high additional charges might go. Are you inclined to think that they will go significantly higher than the two DEQ officials charged yesterday?
Well, I think they need to go higher. And my hope is that Attorney General will vigorously pursue charges against everybody who is criminally culpable in this, no matter how high in state government they may go. We have known for some time now, with the release of a number of emails, that every high-ranking staff person in the governor's office knew about the serious problems associated with the Flint water going back to 2014 and did very little, if anything, to address the problems until a year later. That is very alarming. The administration has been far more focused on public relations positioning and spin than on actually fixing the problem in Flint. And even what the administration did start to do belatedly was only prompted once national media attention was focused on the challenge.
You've called on the governor to resign, which he says he will not do. Do you support efforts to recall Governor Snyder?
Well, I certainly think that the recall effort is warranted, as I've said before, for the very same reasons I think the governor should resign. And this is not a decision that I took lightly. It's not a decision that I jumped to. I had said all along before saying that the governor should resign that we first needed to find out what did the governor know and when did he know it. But once it became clear that this entire problem in Flint is really the outcome of a culture in his administration that is obsessed with spreadsheet totals and obsessed with numbers and dollars over the well-being of people. And once it became clear that these decisions were driven initially by the state-appointed emergency manager, and most importantly, once it became clear that all of Governor Snyder's top officials, his chief of staff, his top legal advisor, his top environmental advisor, knew about these problems going back to the fall of 2014 and did nothing to meaningfully address or solve the problems, I think that resignation is warranted. We need to make sure that we're holding government officials accountable when they fall down on the job. And Governor Snyder fell down on the job through his negligence and his indifference.
House Democratic Leader Tim Grimmel of Auburn Hills is our guest here today on Current State. We wanted to explore an option that's not got any coverage to speak of, and that is impeachment. Considering your position that the governor should resign, or put another way, is not fit for office, why have you and or other Democrats not attempted to impeach him or otherwise remove him from office?
Well, as you know, Mark, the Republicans control every branch of state government right now. They have a majority in the state House. They have a supermajority in the state Senate. They have a large majority on the state Supreme Court. And while there is a constitutional mechanism to impeach the governor, the reality is that the party in power in the legislature is never going to go along with that. And instead of spitting in the wind and spinning our wheels and wasting time in a divisive legislative fight that's not going to lead anywhere, our hope instead would be that the governor does the right thing, steps down from office, so that we as a state can start to put this behind us.
Wouldn't that have some symbolic significance, though?
When you say that, are you
pursuing impeachment?
Well, it may, but certainly I don't think that introducing an article of impeachment has any more symbolic significance than calling on the governor to resign. And we know that the Republican majority in the legislature is not going to allow that article of impeachment to go anywhere.
We got to wondering, if lawmakers were to pursue an effort to impeach the governor, how would it work? So we spoke with Steve Liedl. He's an attorney with the Dykema Gossett firm in Lansing. He served as chief legal counsel to then-Governor Jennifer Granholm. He investigated how impeachment would work when Granholm and others were looking for a way to remove former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick from office. Steve Liedl says a vote of a simple majority in the state House would send articles of impeachment to the Senate, much like it does on the federal level. Let's listen to that explanation.
If a House were to direct an impeachment against the governor or any other public elected official, the Constitution requires a trial to be conducted. If the impeachment involves the governor, the lieutenant governor, the chief justice of the Michigan Supreme Court is required to preside. And it requires a two-thirds vote of senators elected and serving to convict an elected official under the impeachment clause.
So with that procedural kind of question clarified here, I guess my question for you is, do you imagine circumstances related to the Flint water crisis that may yet rise to that level?
Well, it's certainly possible. You know, at a minimum, as I said earlier, we know that going back to 2014, almost a full year before the governor acknowledges that he knew about the serious problems associated with the Flint water, that everybody around the governor knew. Emails clearly demonstrate that. Again, his chief of staff, his right-hand man, his top legal advisor, his top environmental advisor. So either the governor is lying when he says that he didn't know until nearly a year later, or if he in fact didn't know when everybody around him knew, he is the worst manager in the state's history. And either way, he needs to resign and step down because ultimately he has failed in his most basic function and in government's most basic obligation, which is keeping people safe.
It's been 6 years since your party enjoyed a majority in the state house, but Adam Zemke, your party's campaign chair in the house, told MLive this week, we're in it to win it this fall. You need to flip 9 seats. Would your thoughts about pursuing impeachment change if you were successful in that quest?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that even with a Democratic majority in the state house, we could certainly initiate impeachment proceedings, but the Senate would still ultimately be the decision maker when it comes to expulsion from office. And the Senate's not up for election this year. The Republicans are still going to have a two-thirds majority in the Senate for the following 2 years. So certainly it would give us some reason to consider it, especially depending on what comes out of these criminal investigations. But it's still important to recognize that even with a democratically controlled state house, Republicans would control the Senate.
How do you put your chances, though, at retaking the House this fall?
Our chances are good. We, as you know and just said, we need to pick up 9 seats. That is very doable. If you look at the past 5 or 6 state house elections, that's very much in the average of the swing of seats that we've seen between parties in terms of pickup seats. And we've got a lot of factors in our favor this year. Certainly, it's a presidential year. We know turnout will be good. Most of our targeted districts are open seats because Republicans and targeted seats are all being term limited out of office this year. But third and most importantly, people in the state of Michigan are fed up with the status quo. They're fed up with the establishment. They're fed up with the lack of transparency and accountability in politics. And they are looking for change.
How much does the Flint water crisis play in that? Well, does that end up improving your chances significantly of retaking the House?
I think that there are a lot of factors that go into people being fed up with the status quo of state government. And certainly the Flint tragedy underscores some of the problems in state government, particularly the lack of transparency and accountability. But the problems go way beyond the Flint water crisis.
31 House Republicans are calling for the elimination of the Michigan Board of Education. They'd also eliminate the position of state superintendent, who's appointed by the board. Democrats currently hold 6 of the 8 seats on the board. What do you make of this move?
Well, this apparently has been prompted by the State Board of Education's concerns about the bullying of lesbian and gay students and their efforts to explore ways to try to reduce that bullying and to try to ensure that schools have a welcoming environment for all students. And frankly, it's alarming and shameful that Republican legislators would react to the State Board of Education's concern for the LGBT students in schools by wanting to strip the State Board of Education of its basic functions and powers.
Are you following particular races enough that I could ask you about one of them this fall for the State House?
Sure.
There is, and the reason I ask here, there's one contest looming in the Lansing area that I'd really like to ask you about, the 71st. Involving Eaton County. Republican Tom Barrett won the seat last time by only 148 votes. You've got a Democrat in the race in November, Teresa Abbott, facing Barrett, who's held the seat before. Is that a scenario that where you think your Democrat, Teresa Abbott, will prevail?
We do. I'm very confident that Teresa will win that race. This is a rematch of the 2014 election where she lost very, very narrowly, as you indicated. Keep in mind that when she was first elected in 2012, she beat an incumbent Republican. She has the ability to do that. And the biggest problem that we as Democrats faced in 2014 was very low turnout. In a presidential year, we're not going to have those problems in that seat. And Teresa has a great track record. She's very well known. She's very well respected. She did a great job and a great, great work in the legislature while she was in the state legislature in 2013 and 2014. And a lot of her constituents are looking back at those days and saying they wish they had a great state representative like Teresa back in office.
I'd like to ask you about the presidential race, too. I mean, we've got a scenario where Hillary Clinton will probably get the nomination, but recently we've seen a real surge of support for Bernie Sanders as well. What do you make of the national scene right now on the Democratic side?
Yeah, well, I think actually on both sides, we're seeing some real dissatisfaction with the establishment and the status quo. I think that largely explains Bernie Sanders' popularity. I think it also, to a certain extent, explains Donald Trump's popularity. I think they're viewed as anti-establishment figures. And I can understand people's disappointment and frustration with the establishment. I think that's very justified. I also think that it needs to be focused in a way, that frustration, that is constructive. And that's why I've endorsed Hillary Clinton. I think that she is a candidate who has a proven track record of getting things done. And we need a person in the presidency who can work and actually accomplish things. I'll also note that I think a lot of the frustration is about the lack of transparency and accountability in politics and the huge influence that money play in politics. I think some of the appeal of both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump is a very justified desire to see candidates who are not dependent on special interest money. And we have been pushing for more accountability, more transparency in state government. We've been saying that we need to expand the Freedom of Information Act to apply to the governor's office and the legislature. This is long overdue. The state of Michigan is one of only two states in the entire country that exempt the governor's office and the legislature from the Freedom of Information Act.
Tim Grimmel leads Michigan Democrats in the state house at the state capitol. Tim Grimmel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.